Pastor David. Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be here. The last time it was, I guess, 8 years ago that we have been here in Elizabeth. So I send you some greetings from, I guess, all over Europe, from cold Europe. So just be greeted. Okay. Let's open the Bible in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, we read from verse 1. It says, "O everyone that thirsted, come you to the waters, and he that had no money, come you buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which is satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he had glorified thee." And in verse 6, it says, "Seek you the Lord while he may be found, call you upon him while he is near." So that's the Lord's invitation to all mankind. It's eternal life, salvation, the gift of God. To everyone is available until he returns, and this can happen soon, of course. All who are spiritually hungry and thirsty can come and eat and drink, it says here. And in verse 1 it says, without having to pay for it, so it's free for everyone. And the invitation is in verse 6, seek the Lord while he is near. There's still time, of course. The Lord is not back yet, but this can happen soon. And this is the offer to everyone who start a relationship with the Creator. And when you are a visitor today, we welcome you, of course. And a relationship with God starts with being born again. Jesus says in John 3, verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And born of water talks about the water baptism. There is a baptism bath available, of course, here, where you can be baptized and underwater, burying your old life, coming out of the water in a complete new life. And born of Spirit talks about receiving the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And then you receive a brand new life, what most of us experienced, and your relationship and the big adventure with God starts from then on. And this, of course, can happen to you today as well. And in verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So I didn't knew about this theme, love your neighbor, but I guess it's a sort of basic to love our neighbors, to love our God first, of course, and then to love our neighbor. And here I wrote down some thoughts about our thoughts. And God makes clear here that his thoughts, in Strong's it says his intentions, his plan, his purpose, and his ways or his directions are higher than ours. And we sometimes do not have the same views and thoughts and intentions that God has. We sometimes do not walk the path that he walks. And his thoughts and intentions are always, of course, to save human souls with our support. And of course, it's our intention as well to save human souls, that people get saved. That's what we want to do. That's our task. But we can easily be distracted in our thoughts, and having thoughts that God never has. And in Isaiah 53, we don't go there. So it talks about the sacrifice of the Lord offered to all mankind. And we will remember the body and the blood of Christ to the communion later on. And the Lord has forgiven everyone, even those who killed him and nailed him on the cross. He has forgiven them as well. So Jesus gave his blood that people could receive forgiveness, so that their sins could be washed away. And we know with God there's much forgiveness. So we can ask ourselves, how is it with us? So also when we talk about loving your neighbor, do we forgive people? Forgiveness has a lot to do with our thoughts. To forgive or not happens in our minds. So our thoughts tell us whether we want to forgive someone or not. And our thoughts can be very powerful. They can control us, influence us. They also can control our decisions. But in the end, it's always us who decide what we want to do. And with the Holy Spirit, we are able to exercise power over our thoughts. And it's always good to remember the Lord has forgiven us. So I am a child of God, so I can forgive someone else too. I'm able to love my neighbor. And forgiveness means forgetting and burying. So that means we don't look back on it anymore. It's gone. And many forgive, but do not forget. And forgiveness means to forget, just to delete in our minds. And it's like when you delete a file on the computer, then it's not visible anymore for you, but still it's in the trash bin. So to forgive and to forget means to empty the trash bin as well. In Jeremiah, you don't have to go there. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. These are the thoughts that the Lord has towards us ever and ever and again, only good thoughts." We can say the mechanism is mostly the same. What we think, we will radiate and we will attract. If we go to an outreach and we think no one is listening anyway, so that's what often happens in Switzerland, that they are not really listening. And if we think that, I'm there, but they will not listen anyway, so we will radiate this thought. So we will stand there rather reserved, not really interested, maybe a little bit annoyed. And this will have an influence on people, of course. If you smile at someone, they often smile back. It has a big influence how we are, what we show, what we present. And the same happens if we think, I will not overcome this or that, the situation or sickness, and we need healing, and we think I will not overcome that, then we will not overcome that. And because our thoughts will in the end influence our actions too. This is psychology. Often it's helpful to know how we function as human being. Let's go to Job 38. Job 38, story of Job, the whole book, very interesting one. So we can read for many chapters, we can read what Job is thinking and what his conclusions are. And often it was just wrong. And in Job 38, verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," so he asked God to appear to him and to give him some answers to his situation. And the Lord answered, but he did not give the answers that Job expected. Rather, God is the one who asked Job questions, many questions. In chapter 38, he asks him 40 questions. So it is the chapter in the Bible with the most questions. And from chapter 39:1 to 40, verse 2, he asks him another 20 questions, making it a total of 60 questions from God to Job. From chapter 40, verse 6 to 41, verse 34, another 24 questions are added. And the interesting thing about all these questions is that Job himself cannot answer any of them. So God makes clear to him that he does not understand as much as he thinks. And this can happen to us too, of course. We think it should be one way or the other way, but God then shows us that it is all different as we think. Maybe we read some questions here in verse 33. 33, "Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart?" So we know, since we receive the Holy Spirit, God gives us understanding, wisdom into our heart, and this about everything. So we don't have to be captives of our worldly thoughts anymore. Job dealt with his own carnal thoughts for maybe about 35 chapters. And we know at the end he has his big aha moment, and then he understood. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We read in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds." And in verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So our weapons are not carnal anymore. They are spiritual. We receive the Holy Spirit, the power of God. And with help of the Holy Spirit, we go into the battles together with the Lord. And we are able to live spiritually, to think spiritually. We are able to listen and to hear spiritually and to see spiritually. So we bring our wrong carnal thoughts into captivity by fighting with the spiritual weapons. And as we know, of course, we are not perfect, not yet. And sometimes we struggle with different things. And then we continue to be busy with our carnal thoughts. That happens when we worry. When we worry, we are busy with our carnal thoughts. When we let ourselves be influenced by all happenings on this planet, or we create our own problems and load them onto ourselves. And sometimes it can happen that there are thoughts in our heads that maybe speak against the scriptures, against God. Yeah, we might say, I prayed, but I'm not healed. Why? Or I asked for this, I asked for that, and I didn't receive an answer. Why? I'm not healed, I'm doubting, my faith is not big enough, and all this stuff. I guess we all know these questions in our head sometimes, but we also know God's word is yes and amen, and all the people say amen. So his promises are true and will never change. For example, by his stripes we are healed. That's a promise. By his stripes we are healed. We have so many healing testimonies in our midst. So there is no waiting list for healings. The Lord heals. He just needs a little bit faith from us. And as a child of God, now we filled with the Holy Spirit, we are able to fight wrong thoughts in our head, to fight with the spiritual weapons. And at the end, it's always us who decide, of course. So we have power over our senses. Our eyes see what we give them to see. Our ears hear what we give them to hear. And it's mostly in our own hands how we feel. And we should have a clear head. Our mind should relax, meditating on the positive things. We are children of the living God now. And a sister recently said she gets nearly depressed when she's watching the news. And she decided, I don't watch the news anymore. Hallelujah. Yeah, problem solved. So that's it. We decide what we want to do. It's in our hands with what we feed ourselves. If it's good for us or if it's not good for us, we decide. So we don't want to let negative thoughts ruling us, but we can rule over them. We take them into captivity by being spiritually active. So it's really simple. And it works. I quote the scripture here in Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee." So if our minds are with God and the things of God, then we will experience perfect peace inside. And this is something we can control. Yeah, we can flip the switch between being spiritually driven or being carnally driven. And another quote from Psalms 101, verse 3, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." And in Psalms 119, verse 113, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." So our senses, our thoughts behave the way our brain is fed. And we decide how our brain is fed. And so we also decide how our senses or our thoughts are. And we can decide what keeps us busy, worries or joy. Films, books, movies, books, internet, everything has some kind of influence on us. And before I came to the Lord, 20 years ago, I was listening to metal music. So 99% of my records were metal music, heavy metal, and I was listening to bands like Black Sabbath or Judas Priest. And my English was very poor at that time. So I didn't really know what they are singing about. So now I know, boy oh boy. So if you listen to a band called Judas Priest, you cannot expect gospel songs or nice words. So I threw it all away when I came to the Lord. quite a lot of records. So it will have an influence, of course. Anyway, all our thoughts trigger actions in the brain. So worries, fears, it happens in our head. And this also can lead to physical reactions, of course. Cold sweat, pulse beating up, we can feel sick, illness, depression, and so on and so on. And we know Jesus Christ himself, he sweat blood before his crucifixion. So because of mental, psychological stress he was exposed to. And our negative thoughts have a very big influence on our well-being. So it's so important to realize that it matters how we feed our brain. So we should feed our brains differently than in the old life. Now we receive the new life. We are spiritually, and we are able to think and to behave spiritually. And what we hear and see influences how we think and decide. Maybe we go to Matthew 11, verse 15. The Lord often talks about ears and eyes, about hearing, seeing. In Mark 8, verse 18, he says, having eyes, see you not. Having ears, hear you not. And here in Matthew 11, verse 15, he says, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. He says that in many parts in the Bible, we can read that in Matthew 13, verse 15. Please go there. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed cross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So the Lord talks about the ones who are not ready to see and hear spiritually. And in verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And here he talks about the ones who have open eyes, open ears, for the spiritual truth. With our natural senses, we can only grasp a part of what happens around us. So our vision, for example, we can see just 2.3% of the whole electromagnetic spectrum. We cannot see radio waves, X-rays, and so on. So that's the same with the senses of hearing and smelling. Only a small part of what surrounds us can be heard or smelled, and that's why mankind build machines to show things that we cannot see or hear with our senses. So when we compare our sense of smell with that of a dog, for example, the human brain is 10 times bigger, but the part that controls smelling is much bigger in a dog. So while we have 5 million smelling receptors, a dog has 300 million. And so we can say a dog sees much more with its nose than we can recognize with nose, ears, and eyes together. And cats, for example, every cat have 32 muscles in each ear. So that's quite a lot of muscles, and cats can hear in the ultrasonic range to hear a mouse underground. So we as humans hear only silence above a pitch of 20,000 hertz, and the limit of high-pitched tones in cats is at 47,000 hertz. So, and the mouse communicates in this frequency range. We live together maybe for more than 30 years. We live together with cats, had cats at home. And sometimes they sat in front of a white wall and just staring the wall there. And suddenly they moved. And so I was shocked sometimes. And they just moved and they heard something, which of course we couldn't hear. So it's very special. it only shows that our natural perception has its limits. That is good to know and to remember, and that's why we cannot deal with many things using the natural or carnal tools. And everything ends up in our brain somehow, so whether we can handle it or not, and it will keep us busy. But we are different. Yeah, we are filled with God's Spirit. We are different now. We are spiritual now. Therefore, we shall see things from a spiritual point of view, as a spirit-filled person, as a child of God. Let's go to Philippians, the last scriptures, Philippians 4. So we can say when we see carnally, when we see through fleshly eyes, then we will worry about jobs, we will worry about our finances, about our health, about our future. And these things will remain in our head, so they are not solved. And when we see spiritually, then we just go to God, we pray to God, and we know that He provides for us, for our jobs, for our finances. He heals us. He's our healer. He gives us eternal life in the future, and He helps us to overcome everything. And these things will not longer worry us or remain in our thoughts. As the scripture, it says we shall throw our sorrows to the Lord. That's like you throw a stone into the water. Yeah, you don't expect the stone coming back. So you throw it away. It's the same with when we pray, when we go to God, we throw our sorrows to God, and we exactly know that He will solve it. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So God says, don't worry, I will care for you. The word worry also means to ponder or to be busy. Yeah? The advice of God's word is, instead of worrying, come to me and pray. Just be happy, rejoice in the Lord. And in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We all know it. We cannot describe this inner peace we received with the Holy Spirit. Peace of mind. It's fantastic. And this peace shall influence our hearts and minds and our thoughts. Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So always think about the good stuff. And in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me." In the Amplified, this verse 13, it says, "I can do all things which has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace." So the Holy Spirit in us has power over everything else, as well over our wrong or negative thoughts that are there sometimes. So we know we live in crazy times. This will not stop. Yeah, there are so many things that can influence us in a negative way. God has foretold that this will happen. We can read it in the Bible. Also in 2 Timothy it says, in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. Sometimes for us, of course. We are just human beings. we have something which is perfect in us. It's the Holy Spirit. We, as human beings, are not yet perfect. That's why sometimes things will influence us, will go into our heads, and will keep us busy. Because these days are really difficult, difficult days. Some things will be hard to bear. But still, we are children of the living God. We can rule over all these things. We decide what we hear, what we see, and as well how we think. So we see just through spiritual eyes, we hear with spiritual ears, and let the peace of God rule in our hearts and minds, also in times of troubles, and all the people say, Amen.